When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
UK Tech. UK Tech. UK Tech. UK Tech Weekly Podcast. Hello, 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 and welcome to this latest episode of the UK Tech Weekly Podcast, the UK's least auto-tuned weekly tech podcast, shrieked into your ear once a week like hen party karaoke. The UK Tech Weekly Podcast is an infotainment eagle set free by the editors of PC Advisor, Tech World, Macworld UK, and Computer World UK. Every Friday, we are taken to an audio soft play, where we roll around on audio beanbags, jump in audio ball pits, and soil our audio pants in order to bring you no more than 40 minutes of informed chat on the hot tech topics of the past 7 days. Don't forget to subscribe, review, and tell your friends. I'm David Price, acting editor of Macworld UK, and today I am delighted to be chatting to Jammy Dodger, Christopher Manassian, staff writer on PC Advisor and Macworld.
Hola, señor.
Hola. Party Ring, Jim Martin, editor of PC Advisor.
Good morning.
Wasn't sure if we had you then. And Hobnob, Henry Burrell, staff writer on PC Advisor and Macworld.
Good morning.
This week we are talking phones on fire, GoPro on a roll, and Ed Snowden on the warpath. Gladiators ready?
Ready.
Contestants ready?
Yes.
Let's chat. Looking for some hot stuff, baby, this evening. I need some hot stuff, baby, tonight. I won't do any more. Christopher Manassians. Samsung is in hot water. What's going on?
This is amazing, David, just to let you know.
Too much thinking, I think.
So, Samsung have got their Galaxy Note 7, which was supposedly a really good phone until it started catching fire. Now, this isn't the first time we've seen phones catching fire. We've actually, funnily enough, seen the iPhone also having reports of catching fire. Back in, is it 2009, Nokia recalled 46 million phone batteries. That's a lot of batteries. So it's not the first time we've seen phones catching fire, but it's very much the first time, at least in recent times, that a big phone manufacturer like Samsung has actually recalled their phones.
Yeah, so let's get a bit more specific. It's the Note 7, but it's not all Note 7s, is that right? If somebody has a Note 7, do they need to be scared?
Well, as far as I'm aware, it's a recall, as in the US. It was a recall. I don't know if it's a worldwide recall.
I think it might be.
Is it? Okay.
Have you sent yours back yet, Jim?
I don't actually have one, but I think luckily our review model has not exploded or
Excellent.
Caught fire.
I think it's one of these. For that?
No,
got,
I mean, as
a good review, didn't it?
As I wrote that, even if you were one of the first people to buy one, you'll get a replacement from Samsung and it will be fixed and it will be safe. At least that's what Samsung is saying. And frankly, I don't have any reason to doubt them because there are millions and millions of other Samsung phones which don't explode and catch fire. So I would think that it's certainly not a reason to be scared of buying a Note 7.
So what should people do if they've got a Note 7 or they're thinking of buying a Note 7? What's your advice at this point?
Well, my advice would be, if you're thinking about buying one, you shouldn't be afraid of not buying one because Samsung have already replaced the batteries within them. Funnily enough, the batteries that were produced by Samsung were the ones that were causing problem. And the whole physics behind it, or the science behind it, was the fact that they were compressing too much battery space in such a small space.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's because I had the theory that they were so desperate to beat Apple, that they wanted to get a higher capacity battery in a thinner phone, and so they compressed the components together, and so you've got these really thin walls separating what are
flammable component. Yep. And so
that's great.
Sounds like and then they rushed it out.
Yep.
To get it out ahead of the iPhone 7.
So I can't confirm because it was because of the iPhone, but that it seems like a really good reason why Samsung could have screwed up there.
I always thought that iPhone thing was a bit of a media spin. I think it's just they obviously wanted to get the phone out around the same time as the iPhone.
Yeah.
But I think when you said, how can you tell maybe if you've got one that's good or bad, I think they've changed the indicator light.
They have. The battery the battery indicator is green instead of white.
There you go.
Does that mean that means so it's been replaced?
That means it's the newer version. So you'll know if you've got an old version because the indicator will be white rather than green. That's what I've heard anyway. Yep. So have Samsung reduced the battery capacity in order to fix the problem, or have they fixed the problem without reducing capacity?
As far as I'm aware, they've only just changed the manufacturer for the batteries, and they haven't changed
same
the capacity. Same size. Which would make sense, because I can't remember the top of my head, if you remember the capacity on top of your head.
It's 3,500 milliamp hours.
There you go. So, I mean,
it's a biggie.
That's it.
Yeah. Which is about 600 milliamp hours more capacity than the iPhone 7 Plus.
But yet, it doesn't have a higher claimed battery life. In fact, it has a slightly lower claimed battery life because of the optimization.
You can't simply compare the capacities of two two batteries and say one will last longer than the other, because it all depends on the efficiencies of things like the processor, the screen, the backlight.
And it also has a larger screen with a lot higher
pixels.
Resolution.
Exactly. So more pixels, and that's more graphics power. So yeah, you can't just say, well, a bigger capacity battery means if it'll last longer. It doesn't mean that.
Because the iPhones don't have exemplary battery life, do they? But they always tend to have fewer milliamp hours than Android phones.
Yeah.
And is that just Android open source nature? The fact is just, why does it
well,
you
can always
life?
Use the argument that Apple manufactures the hardware and designs the software, optimizes iOS for the hardware, and therefore has a bigger advantage because Android is used by so many different manufacturers, and the core isn't necessarily optimized for the processors and all the other hardware that they're using. But at the end of the day, it's probably more down to the real high drain components like the screen and things like when you use GPS, of course, you're going to drain your battery faster.
There is also the element with the iPhone 7 Plus specifically that the A10 Fusion chip, it's a quad core chip, but it's sort of only really a dual core chip, because it uses either two processors which are high performing, or it uses two cores that are low power, and that should allow it to have a higher battery life.
Exactly. Exactly.
You said, Christopher, that we've had issues with iPhones overheating. And I know that there was a case in the news last week where an iPad battery exploded in Finland and caused a fire, which we probably shouldn't laugh about, but it sounds somehow funny.
Pretty bad.
What's different this time? Is this more serious than these cases? Is Samsung handling this better or worse than other companies have in the past?
Well, personally, I think Samsung have dealt with it the correct way. They've said, we've screwed up, send us your phones back, no questions asked, we'll replace it for you. In terms of if this is different from other scenarios, it's more the fact that it's affected, I think it's 117 cases of incidents with the Note 7 within the first month of it being released, even though there was 1 million units sold. So we're talking less than 0.1% of phones affected, but there's still a high incident rate, if that makes sense. And that is the reason why. Whereas other phones, like the iPad, I don't know, let's say in its history, let's say there's been 100 cases, as an example, in its history of being created from the iPad 1.
I think a lot of the cases as well, it's later transpired that people have sort of dropped an iPhone in a swimming pool or something, which has then corroded the internals. And then like a year later, you know, they thought it was fixed. A year later, it then went on fire.
Yeah.
And it turned out that it was user misadventure. But in this case, I think they acknowledged.
Misadventure.
Yeah, I like that word. I think Samsung have acknowledged that there is an issue with the design of the battery.
And there's been cases that in the past, I think it was in 2015, where there was someone that was recorded on CCTV, suddenly their phone started blowing up in their pocket, and then I can't remember, the company at the time basically said actually that was your fault, or it was just a stunt or something like that. There's been cases in the past. It's nothing new. It's just the fact that because it's such a tech giant like Samsung, and the fact that it's happened so many times, that's why people should take it a little bit more seriously versus previous incidents. So,
and is it? Yeah. Sorry, Henry.
I was going to say, maybe it's hard for us to judge, given that we work with this kind of stuff every day, but I just get the feeling it won't actually harm their PR very much. Like Christopher said, they've done the right thing by saying, I think there was a quote from one of the executives, and he was like, it makes me cry or something about how much money we're going to lose, but we're going to recall all of them because the safety of the consumer is paramount. But it just the way they've dealt with it just seems.
They've got it in front
of them. If we are going to make the comparison, it makes them slightly more human in terms of their communications to. I know we can't comment because Apple hasn't had the same problem, but they've just been like, oh, this sucks, we'll bring it back.
Yeah, well, it reminds me a little bit of...
I don't know if it'll affect sales, really. I'm not sure.
I mean, it must a bit.
I think maybe for sure. The only reason I'm saying that is because the amount of memes that have come up online...
Dank memes.
So the only reason I'm saying this is because people who are never interested in Note 7 or...
Yeah,
I'd never heard of it before. Yeah. Suddenly I've seen it popping up on the internet with it being next to like a bomb saying this is how you plant your Note 7 or things of it catching fire or comparisons with the iPhone. One has a jack, but the other one doesn't explode. Something like that. So there's been those comparisons. So people who are never in the know about the new Note 7 would now know, oh, it's an exploding phone. Let me maybe stay away from it. Or, hey, have you got a recommendation for a phablet? Oh, yeah, not the Note 7.
Yeah,
because
and the timing is really awkward as well.
And the timing's really
because
awkward
it's
with the
come
iPhone.
Out and you've got the iPhone 7, and then there was a little bit of hoo-ha with the headphone jack.
Mm-hmm.
And people were going, oh, well, you know, the Note 7 maybe is better. Oh, it goes on fire.
Mm.
And it couldn't have gone worse. You know, it's almost as, and I'm not implying anything here, but it's almost as if Apple could have planned it like this. It's gone exactly as they would want it to go.
But Jim, you reviewed it, right?
No, I didn't.
Chris reviewed it.
Yeah,
sorry.
So he's probably carrying around that...
ticking time bomb.
Ticking time bomb in his pocket, yeah.
No, I did use it.
I disagree. I think it won't affect sales particularly. I think, like, you're talking about 100 cases of problem phones in a million sold. I just think most people are going to... They might have heard of this, but it'll blow over as quickly as, the VW saga.
Yeah, that's true.
Does anyone remember that? No, not really?
Yeah.
The which saga?
The Volkswagen... you know, the old
details we don't remember.
The emissions cheating cars.
I think that did damage their PR quite a lot.
Yeah, but people still going down and buying their Golf off the forecourt.
Can you ever trust a company again after it's had a situation like this? Or does it increase?
I think it's different though. Like Volkswagen, they were found to have actually fiddled. Like emissions results in like millions of vehicles.
Yeah.
Whereas this Samsung's been like, oh crap, some of our phones have caught fire. Sorry about that. Brought them back. They wouldn't have done it on purpose. Isn't it? It's a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little bit different. So it's probably not.
Maybe they cut corners at manufacturing and saved money on dodgy batteries or something. We probably won't ever know.
Mm.
But at least they've dealt with it in the right way.
Yeah.
Are we in some way to blame for this? In our incessant demand for the thinnest possible devices and the best battery capacity?
I don't think so. I don't know if how many people actually demand thin phones. Like when there was like Bendgate with the iPhone, how many people were like, well, we never wanted a extra 0.2 millimeters off the iPhone, and now it has the problem of bending. It could potentially have the problem of bending if you sit in it in a certain way or put a certain pressure. I mean, it was a bit extreme, but still, I've personally never seen the appeal of super thin phones. Mm. And on top of that, the biggest thing for most people is three factors. You've got display, how good it looks, camera, how good it can take pictures, and thirdly, it's battery. Ironically, it's battery, but battery...
If you want something to have a good battery life, and you want it to have a really good screen and so on, you are demanding that they do... push the boundaries.
Yeah.
And they're competing with each other. They want to get out ahead of Apple, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of inevitable, isn't it, that you're going to get these situations arising? Because they're pushing the limits of the materials every time they bring out a new phone.
Absolutely.
And they have to be better than last year. And there's only so many atoms you could fit into a certain space. You know, there are limits to the physical capabilities of these materials. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's getting a bit philosophical. we should probably go around the room. The question I have for you is... hot stuff or burnt out? And these things sort of apply to Samsung, as in, is Samsung still hot stuff or is it burnt out? Henry Burrell.
I think it's hot stuff still.
Yay! Jim Martin.
Yeah, it's hot stuff.
Good to hear. And Christopher?
Can I get some hot stuff?
I'm going to regret that, aren't I? We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk GoPro. Wake me up before you go pro. Don't leave me hanging on like a yo-yo. Wake me up before you go pro. I don't want to miss it when you hit that. Hi, Jim Martin. Welcome. I'm really sorry. There's another one.
You're not, though, are you? Not Jim, really. Loves it. If
Jim,
you're honest.
Jim Martin, welcome back to the pod. Don't leave me hanging on like a yo-yo. What's GoPro been up to?
Well, it's very exciting news because after more than a year of build-up, GoPro has finally taken the wraps off its brand new drone. In fact, it's the first drone that GoPro has launched. So it's pretty exciting.
Tell me about the GoPro drone.
So the Karma, as it is called, it's interesting in two ways, actually, because first of all, it's a fold-up drone. So the arms, which have the propellers on them, they fold up. So it's quite small when it goes in the backpack, and it will come in a backpack with all the stuff. So you can, they say you can wear it on your back and you won't even notice it. I think that's probably exaggerating it somewhat. But
maybe.
The other thing, which is really good, is that the gimbal, which holds a GoPro camera. So the drone doesn't actually have a fixed camera. So you put your GoPro in it. It supports a couple of the old Hero 4 black and silver, plus the new GoPro Hero 5 and the new Hero 5 Session. And the gimbal, which is the thing that actually stabilizes that camera, it comes out of the drone and it can go into a handheld grip, which means you can walk around with your camera and you get stable action shots with that. And you can even mount that grip onto GoPro's rucksack, and presumably there'll be other mounts. And they say you can also mount it on a motorbike or a car or things and get these amazing cinematic shots. No other drone really does that, because most drones, their camera is stuck on the drone and that's it. You can't do anything else with it. So I think GoPro has got something pretty interesting there.
Why is it taking it so long to come out with a drone? This seems like a natural fit for GoPro's MO, if you like.
Yeah, part of the reason that it's been so long is that they tried to make a partnership with DJI, and because DJI are one of the biggest names in drones and flying cameras and stuff, and they have their own cameras. And I think GoPro wanted to do a partnership with them, but at least maybe it's the other way around. DJI wanted to do a partnership with GoPro.
Well, you'd think that GoPro would have enough money to buy a drone company, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But essentially, GoPro wanted too much of the profits from each of the drones, and DJI said, hey, you're not having sort of all the profits, 40% or whatever it was they wanted. So I think that deal went sour, and that put their plans for a drone back by quite a while. The Karma itself was meant to be out, I think, at the beginning of 2016 or maybe the middle, and it certainly was delayed. I'm not sure of the reasons why. But it's finally here. It's going on sale in October, and you'll be able to buy it in the UK without a camera for about £720.
That's what I was going to ask you, actually, Jim, because obviously you're the drone man. Is that a good price for what it is without a camera?
It's hard to compare because, as I say, there aren't any other drones where you can remove the gimbal and put it into a handheld thing. So okay. DJI have just released a new Osmo, which is their handheld mount, and you can stick a smartphone in there.
Okay.
And that costs, I think it's, off the top of my head, I think it's about £270 or something like that. It may even be cheaper. I probably should have done my research before coming on here. But anyway, we'll just edit over
we'll
the
edit
top
that
of
out,
this.
Yeah.
Later. But so DJI have these handheld things, but they sell them separately,
right.
and they have their own cameras, or you put your smartphone in one. Whereas with the GoPro Karma, you get the handheld one in there as well.
With the drone.
You don't get a camera. If you've already got a compatible GoPro camera, then it's a relatively good price. But it is expensive because you don't get the camera. If you want a camera bundled with it, it's £1,000. And yet the cheapest DJI drones now are sort of £400-ish, and that comes with a 2K camera.
Can you attach a different company's camera? Or is it like a proprietary?
I mean, it may be possible in the future if people bring out different gimbal mounts. But as it stands now, you can only put four different GoPro cameras into the mount.
Yeah, is it just kind of GoPro relying on their brand recognition at this point? Because I saw that they had actually recorded $200 or so million loss last year.
They have posted losses, I think, for the last three quarters, and they are, I would think, pinning their hopes on the new cameras and the drone sort of turning around their fortunes.
Well, there's a feeling, isn't there, that they created this market and now everybody else has caught up. It's now a crowded market.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. And of course, you're seeing lots of new phones coming with waterproofing, so you can stick your phone under the swimming pool and get some underwater shots. And you can, you can't necessarily mount them onto your head and do some action shots with them. But phones are really encroaching on that market, at plus, of course, all the cheap clones that you're talking about. So it is tough.
What do you think, Christopher? Are you going to rush out and buy the new GoPro?
No, not me. But that's also because I'm not one that's going to be really using it. It's funny enough, I had a same conversation with a friend just yesterday. And we're saying, oh, the new GoPro looks cool. I'm thinking of buying one. I'm like, well, actually, same goes with back to the clones. Like, the clones, in my opinion, have taken over the market because they're so much cheaper. But I did say to my friend, I was like, well, if you're going to be buying a clone, bear in mind that the quality is nowhere near as good as the actual GoPro. Mm-hmm.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Both in terms of image quality and video quality. But you do get some which are ridiculously good. And for a fraction of the price, if you're going to be using it every now and then and not like every day when you go, I don't know, skateboarding, snowboarding, mountain biking or whatever it is, then these clones are fantastic alternatives that most people have probably gone to. And that's where GoPro have lost their not market.
They've lost the mass market. They can't hit the mass market because they're too expensive. Yeah.
And the other thing I was thinking about with the drone as well, particularly with GoPro, like you're saying, it's something that you mount to your helmet or your snowboard or whatever. Unless I'm being really naive here, what will these sort of same target market actually be wanting to put it on a drone for? Or are they trying to encroach on like new customers?
I suppose the drone could follow you while you're snowboarding. That's pretty cool. You get those awesome shots.
Because again, I suppose the steady shots and everything. Yeah,
yeah, the drone market is small compared with the action camera market, I think, and legislation and new rules are coming into various different countries as the governments and all those agencies are catching up, and they're locking it down. So whereas if a couple of years ago, if you had a drone, you could pretty much fly anywhere and nobody knew what the rules were. The police didn't necessarily know what the rules were, whereas now you feel like there aren't many places where you can take that drone and use it unrestricted, and it's difficult to know what the rules are in different countries, so people are less likely to take it abroad and use it on holiday because they're not sure whether they're going to get arrested for flying it on the beach or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it is, you know, owning a drone, I don't use it that much. It's not like a camera that you could use all the time. You use it at very specific occasions.
Yeah, when you want to spy on somebody.
So it is hard to see, you know, going back to your question, it's hard to see that lots and lots of people are going to rush out and buy it just because it's a GoPro product.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they've got their little niche market of wealthy adventure sportsmen, and that's not enough to sustain a business of that size. And it's shrinking because people are turning to cheaper alternatives, as Christopher said, and phones and things like that.
They just need to bring cheaper products, I think. That's my... Yeah. I mean, there's people who will care about 4K and 2.5K or 2K, however you want to say it, but most people just want a solid 1080p. Even 60 frames per second is like a bonus that most people don't even benefit from. Like when you upload a video to Facebook, it's 30 frames per second, so it's not full 60, at least as far as I'm aware.
But by the same token, you wouldn't say that to Apple. Well, our Apple need a bigger market share, so they need to make their products cheaper.
It's actually a very similar sort of model. They're both quite clearly going for the top end and the prestige products. It's just that there's more people that are willing to spend a lot of money on a phone than are willing to spend a lot of money on what is essentially kind of a toy. Isn't quite fair, but it's a real sort of hobby.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, like last year, the Hero 4 session, they cut the price in half, right? Because it was like 300 and something and no one bought it.
That's right.
And so they halved it now without putting you on the spot. You got the new Hero 5 session.
Yeah.
And what's the other one called? Hero 5?
So there's two models. Black. Yeah, Hero 5 Black and the Hero 5 session. And the Hero 5 session is now $249.99.
So they've put it back up again.
So they've put it back up, but not to the $329.99 that the original session
was. So their base camera is still £250.
So their base camera is £250, but it does come with a few new features. So they've upgraded the resolution, so it's 4K now at 30 frames per second. It's got voice control, so it's easier to use.
Okay.
Voice control is a significant step.
I think it is, yeah. I mean, obviously we're yet to use it because it's only just been announced, but being able to say start recording or take a photo...
Call the ambulance.
Help me.
That would be a great integration, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What they're talking about is in terms of making it easier to access the footage, and the voice control is part of that. So that you say start shooting now, so it's like ready edited almost. And then they've got this new what's it called? Quick software.
They've got quick editing software, which makes it a lot easier because, of course, you can easily tag the highlights. I'm assuming. This is definitely an assumption, but you'll be able to say, you know, mark this as a highlight when you do something when you're out recording. Mm. And then the Quick software essentially takes it, or you can mark a few clips in the app, and then it will quickly edit a thing together, a little bit like the new Memories thing does in iOS 10. So I think all of these companies have wised up to the fact that no one really wants to spend a lot of time video editing.
No.
It can take an awful long time and a lot of effort. It's a steep learning curve to try and make anything that looks really good. And they're making this new subscription, this Plus subscription available, which will allow you to... Well, which allows the camera to just automatically upload all your footage and photos when you plug it into charge. So it uploads it to the cloud and it gives you access to this music soundtrack sort of thing so that you can choose from a lot of different music for your videos.
And that's Quick, yeah.
And so there's Quick, which is the app, and then there's the Plus subscription service, which is the cloud storage, basically.
Cool. Yeah, I had to play around with Quick the other week. It was actually quite good.
Mm.
Yeah, you have to probably delve into it a little more if you want exactly what you want, because like mine front-loaded it with all the video and then just stuck all the pictures on the end. But still, I was quite impressed that it manages to kind of work out when the interesting bit of the video is.
Yeah, it'll try and figure it out, and it will give you... And then if you want to tweak it, it gives you the opportunity to select the exact bit that you want and then basically share it with all your friends on Facebook or wherever you want to.
It's a clever strategy. Because it is, historically, GoPro footage is one of those things that is more fun to shoot than to watch, and people just shoot it, and then I think a lot of the time it just stays on the device. Mm-hmm. And
one of the criticisms that I leveled to GoPro when I met them was to say, you need to add stabilization to your cameras because some of your clones have, and it's much better. Mm-hmm. So, you're on the back foot now, and they've done exactly that. They've put the electronic stabilization into those new cameras, plus they've got all the gimbals for the Karma drone, and they'll also sell that Karma grip separately. I think that's about £250.
I could play with one of those all day.
So, you will be able to get some nice stable footage from GoPro now, and then you'll be able to edit it quickly and share it. So whether or not that altogether makes it a more tempting proposition for the extra money. I don't know. I mean, some people would just buy an
iPhone, wouldn't they?
you could arguably shoot some lovely stabilized footage on your iPhone and share that incredibly easily because it's got a data connection. Because one of the predictions, of course, for the new GoPros was that they were going to have built-in LTE or certainly, you know, the ability to stick a SIM in there or even maybe use your phone. But aside from uploading that footage via Wi-Fi to their cloud subscription, it's not I don't think they really have a live broadcast solution yet, so you're not going to be broadcasting live from your GoPro Hero 5 or that Hero 5 amazing. Session
that would be pretty cool.
We'd put the price dangerous. Up though, wouldn't it, which is something they're probably going to struggle with.
Exactly. Yeah,
well, we should probably call that to a halt at some point and go around the room.
<I'm a Rose.
laughs> I will ask you all, GoPro or no pro? Let's go the other way around. Christopher?
I'm going to say no pro.
No pro. Jim?
Well, I'll have to say GoPro.
And Henry? There's no maybe pro. It's only GoPro or no pro. I should have said YoPro. I'm
just
regretting that.
Just about GoPro, yeah.
All right, brilliant. I'll say GoPro as well. we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about... Hello. Hello, is it me you're looking for? I was planning to do the whole bit, but I'm not going to.
You can do it again if you want.
No, I'm not. Henry Burrell, Google is saying, hello, will you be answering?
Potentially. Might go to voicemail. hello. It's interesting. I don't know if anyone else here has used it yet, but know a little bit about it. So Hello is a new messaging app, like we needed another one.
Yeah.
It's from Google.
They've already got one themselves, haven't they?
They Hangout. Do. They've got Hangouts, yeah. And then they've got their own SMS app called Messenger for Android as well. So it's kind of a third one, which is a bit confusing. As we record, I think it's available for download now. It is a messaging over IP, not SMS. So it's like WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger. It sends it over an internet connection. Like WhatsApp, and unlike some of the others, you need a phone number. It needs to be associated with your number. But it is for Android and iOS. So it's kind of Google, in their PR at least, is kind of saying, hey, you can text your buddies who use iMessage all the time. But immediately you have a problem there for me. they're trying to get iOS users to use this as well, people who are invested in probably an iCloud ecosystem on their phone and don't necessarily use Google apps already.
So they wouldn't be able to send a message. I mean, this is probably a stupid question, but you wouldn't be able to send a message from this app to... iMessage.
No,
it would only show up in that app on the iPhone.
Effectively, they're trying to sort of encroach on the WhatsApp market because anyone who uses an iPhone already and wants to talk to their Android or whoever buddies that don't use iMessage, they just use WhatsApp.
Yeah.
You know, there are already services which do all of this, it is tricky because, like you say, we really need another one. Google's just done exactly the same thing with Duo, you know, launching a Skype rival, but we already have Skype and it already runs on every platform.
I've got that written down here. So they've done the same thing as Apple in that they have iMessage and FaceTime on iOS. And so Google said, oh, we need two separate ones as well. And you've got Allo and Duo. So you've got, one messaging app separate from the video calling app. You've got Facebook Messenger, who's just chucking everything in the pot. But it seems to be working for them. You can do everything on Facebook Messenger.
Well, what are the features then? Why would you choose this over WhatsApp?
So I find personally, for a mass market, their differentiation is a little bit left field. You've got something called Google Assistant within Google Allo, and that is basically like a bot. It's like AI. You can either have conversations with it directly to source information, a bit like a voice assistant, but through text, or you can use it within chats. So, for example, if you tell it, this will bring me on to another point. If you type in your work address, say I work at, and then type in your address, it pops up again on the assistant and it'll be, I'll remember that. And then if you type, how can I get to work? It'll like send you the Google Maps link to how to get to work from where you are.
Yeah.
Mine actually already, so I tested this because I use Android, so I've already signed my life away to Google. I typed into the assistant, get me to work, and it already knew where I worked because I've already tagged work on Google Maps. Mm-hmm. So it links in pretty well for Android. But then the payoff you have with this is that Google gets to keep your data. So
is that the model? So you don't pay for this app?
It's completely free, but unlike its competitors being iMessage and WhatsApp, in my view, by default, your data is not encrypted. So all your data is stored on Google servers, which, I mean, if you've got nothing to hide, it's not a problem. But in terms of privacy...
But didn't they take a...
Didn't they do a bit of a backtrack on this? Because originally they said it was going to be end-to-end encrypted.
They
because so many of the other services already are. So WhatsApp is encrypted, iMessage is encrypted.
Then like super encrypted services that no one uses, but it's great, called Signal, things like that.
Yes,
which changed their code every couple of hours or something ridiculous.
I think you've got to really want to hide something if you want to use apps like Signal.
So yeah, definitely.
But you've got to persuade all your friends to install it as well.
Well, that's the exact problem that Allo's going to have, I think. And then they've got the other... So like you say, Jim was saying, at Google I.O., their event a few months ago, they introduced Allo and Duo and said Allo would be encrypted. It's not, but it technically is because they have an incognito mode.
Yeah.
So it's like you can do in Chrome when you want to watch something naughty, basically. This is basically
it
does take all the features off, because the whole thing they're differentiating on is the Google Assistant.
It's the machine learning.
But if you're using incognito mode, it can't store your data, so you can't use any of those features. And you can set your messages to self-destruct after an hour or something.
But going back to the Google Assistant for a minute, this is all very interesting, and I guess that most people who are listening are not going to have experience with bots yet. And to be fair, we don't particularly.
No.
But they are coming, and loads of people are... sounds slightly
sinister.
Rather sinister, but it isn't. They're coming to Facebook M, Facebook Messenger, and Microsoft has been talking a lot this year about bots in Skype, and we're going to be able to do all these things. So is it going to be the case, do you think, that we're going to almost have to pick one of these so that we can use that assistant or the bots that we want? Or do you think that we'll be using a variety of bots for all of our, booking a flight, ordering a pizza, getting an Uber, whatever it is that the assistant can do for you?
Well, so Google's already got Google Now, which is like a voice assistant, right? And I think Apple users who use Siri kind of maybe don't use it all the time, but will use it offhand. They'll be like, oh, how do I get to the station or something? You might say it out loud. And obviously Amazon has just released Echo as well. But with Allo, I found it a little bit more jarring. Like, you're in a conversation, like I was chatting to my colleague Lewis on Allo, and you have to go at Google and then ask it a question. But I don't know if that would ever really happen in a conversation.
But doesn't it
if
also
you'd be like, where should we go for dinner?
Flight.
And then you go, at Google, where shall we go for dinner? And then it just sends you a link to TripAdvisor. Like, it's not very helpful at the moment.
Yeah. But I thought it was also, and this is something you have on Siri as well, is if somebody says, for example, what's your address, Henry? Then doesn't it it uses machine learning to suggest an answer that it thinks you would want to get?
And then at the moment you can, it's still kind of, I can't remember the word they use, but it's basically still in development, even now as a public release. And it asks you for a thumbs up or thumbs down on the information, basically.
Because everything's getting more intelligent. Everyone's talking about AI this year and how it is, in theory, it's going to be very good. But like you say, at the moment, we're not at a stage where you can have a natural conversation with any of these assistants and end up booking a flight to LA that's actually really convenient and useful to you. We're still not there yet, but once we get there, it should in theory be very convenient.
Oh, definitely. I just think in the context of Allo, it's something that maybe Google should have done about 5 years ago. Which is probably about as long as I've personally been using WhatsApp, maybe. Just about.
People are locked in, I think.
Trying to convince them to use a completely different messaging service. And also something that I realized just before we came on, even if you're a fully fledged Android user, you can't set Allo as your default SMS messaging service either. Mm-hmm. So even if you're texting people on Google who use Allo, you'll still have to use a different app. So unlike iMessage, basically.
And because it needs a phone number, you can't use it on a tablet?
True. You can't use it on tablets or wearables or anything like that.
So that's a bit of that's a sticking point, because with iMessage, you can use it across all of your iPads.
That's a very good point.
And Apple has really upgraded messages.
You can't use Allo on desktop.
And messages has now got all this built-in App Store and stickers and everything. So Apple is going big on messages as well. And they're saying that you'll be able to use messages to send money to your friends. So you'll be able to add on features as you want them. Presumably bots are also going to be coming to messages at some point. So it's going to be slightly interesting to see where that all goes and where they, you know, where everything falls.
Yeah.
I should, before we run out of time, I did promise a bit of Ed Snowden in the intro. Yeah. So we should mention, he's not happy about it. Ed Snowden, the, in my view, American hero and NSA whistleblower, but also a controversial figure.
He looks a bit like you, actually.
I get that. I used to get Prince Harry, and then basically when Prince Harry became handsome, people stopped saying it. And now I just get Gordon Freeman off Half-Life and Ed Snowden.
Yeah, yes. I can see it.
Yeah, Ed Snowden, who knows a thing or two about privacy and security, has called this app Google Surveillance and says that nobody should use it.
Yeah. They've been sort of... hot take articles about this coming out yesterday being like, this is just Google bending over and saying, look, we're not going to piss you off, FBI, like,
yeah,
because Apple had so much of a furore and round them up with that. Google has kind of done,
I don't do that, because Apple came out of that smelling of roses. Everybody loved Apple after that, and they got away with it. They didn't, you know, they said they were going to arrest Tim Cook. He didn't get arrested.
I don't know how much I think really for most people this will boil down to not the fact that it's not encrypted, but the fact that it doesn't really offer anything that they don't already have.
That's a sad thing, isn't it?
It is a bit sad.
We care more about small features. Oh, we didn't mention Whisper Shout. Tell us about Whisper Shout. Shall I tell us about Whisper Shout?
I think you should do that. Because
Whisper Shout is it's an extremely exciting feature where you can adjust the size of the text of each message you send in Allo.
So this is a man who is invested in iOS looking very smug right now. But no, to that point, I mean, it's a couple of weeks after the iPhone's come out, and I have been using an Android phone for a few years now. But increasingly, because I've used a Mac, I just kind of want an iPhone again.
Don't do it.
No. Oh, no. Well, just with iMessage, everyone else has a Mac. An iPhone, got to send iMessages. And then this, I know it's a very small point, very techie point, but the fact you can use iMessage as your just one app if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I think this is why Apple is so clever at making sure that, unlike Google, which is saying, oh, you can use all of our apps on your iPhone, it doesn't work the other way around. You can't use Apple apps on an Android phone, and which exactly...
Except for Apple Music.
Except for Apple Music, okay.
Not
exclusively.
Everybody loves Apple Music.
But FaceTime and Messages will always be exclusive.
Don't forget Stocks.
And the wonderful Stocks, which now has 3D touch support.
Amazing.
Very, very important.
And can be deleted, which is more important.
And can also be deleted.
Hidden.
Yeah, hidden. Sorry,
oh,
hidden,
yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Good point. We are running out of time, so we have to stop there. Quick question. Allo, allo, or hell no, allo? Jim?
Hell no, allo.
Good. Christopher?
Hell no, allo. It's another Google Plus.
I like it. Complicated. Henry?
With regret, hell no, allo.
I agree. Hell no, allo. And with that, I will say thank you for listening to this edition of the UK Tech Weekly Podcast. Feel free to get in touch and let us know your thoughts and opinions, and to shake us down for cash or give us cash by advertising. You can tweet us using the handle at UK Tech Podcast, or email us on editor@idg.co.uk. We'll be back next week with more informed opinion on the hottest topics in tech. If that sounds like something you'd like, find us on Acast, iTunes, SoundCloud, and various other podcast sources. And don't forget to subscribe, comment, like us, and tell your friends. Until then, say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.